Good day, Internet.
Oh, good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Roger had his baby.
Yay!
Congrats, baby Chang.
A new Chang in the world.
Ah, it's what the world needs now.
Sweet
Chang. Sweet
Chang. Chang. Oh, sweet Chang.
It's the only thing that up until now there was just too little.
So I've got the DOG in here with me, and if he sucks, I'll put him back
D-O-double-G.
In his crate, but yeah, we're trying to not, he's not liking his crate midday anymore, and so it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm very tired.
I listened to the episode of Have Such a Good Day where you were in the middle of that tenuous first 24 hours.
Yeah, right.
It gave me more of a window into your frayed psyche on the matter.
It's just, you know, I mean,
it's a lot.
Yes. It's a lot. That's we'll just say that. It is. I love the dog, but we have work to do. The two of us.
That's having a dog right there in a nutshell.
Totally. Yeah. 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 Just want to get some sleep.
Again, the
so I can stop wearing my glasses.
The parallels of new dog versus new baby never cease to amaze me. It's I just want some sleep.
He's actually pretty good, but it's just kind of the general needing to see me at all times. Like if I walk into another room and he can't see me, he's very upset. And I want that to stop as soon as possible.
You got to nip that.
Yeah.
And it's painful because you have to listen to him whine.
Yeah.
How'd the trainer meeting go?
Good. She's coming back next Wednesday. She is, confident that all these things are doable. She's good. Like, this dog just seems like he's been lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
He's been lonely for a while, and mm-hmm. he's trying to unravel the stuff, and it's not going to be easy for you.
And he's
so.
Like, yeah, he's probably clingy because he's like, you like me. Good.
Right,
don't leave me. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is great. You know, it's adorable, but can be problematic as well.
Well, it's better that than like growling at you or something, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, none of that. None of that. No, he's very sweet. Just, just clingy, huh?
Fruity OT bar, make a man out of a mouse. Fruity OT bar. I'm singing Fruity OT bar because Sarah's dog's name is Odie.
There's
Odie.
Yeah, sometimes when I click on the video to see you guys, you crash. It's a feature of Chrome.
Yeah.
Feature not a bug.
Oh no.
Oh no, what happened?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but you're not on your regular mic.
Oh my gosh, this is the same issue. What am I going to do? Okay. This is not good. Okay. Am I back?
Picture's back. Mic's
now
back.
Now you're back.
All right. You know what it is? It's the Zoom. If it doesn't want me to be Zoomed, I'll just leave it like this.
All right. Yeah, it looks fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a good look.
It's a good look
Thank
for you.
Thank you. Thanks, all.
So I have two personal notes I can run by you guys to fill the time before the show. I got a call at 6:30 this morning from the McKinley Presidential Library.
Oh, nice.
Trying to sell the defenders. They were so excited about it that even on local time, they called 30 minutes after business hours.
And wow.
6:30 in the morning, my time. So that was a fun wake up.
Yeah. So what did they want?
They just wanted to make sure that they were getting samples, and the lady had looked at the website and was excited about it and said that there was a very good chance they'd buy as soon as she gets to see the physical product.
This is for the Contender?
For the Contender, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Awesome. But I hope... So I was all excited, and I was going to send... them out today, but we are fulfilling the last of our Kickstarter obligations, which ironically is our top donors, some of which have yet to fill out their email questionnaire so I can print their labels out on Shopify, one of which may or may not have the first name Tom and the last name Merritt. So at his earliest convenience, to do that, I could get him his $250 very graciously backed Action News fulfillment.
You know what the problem is? I think Kickstarter has the wrong email address.
In all honesty, Tom, I happen to know a lower backer who still has yet to their information because they keep forgetting.
Well, that I don't care about because that's going to come from the fulfillment center. So you can do that at your own leisure. Tom's is a different story because it's literally in my living room and I'd like to leave. But we ran out of ink out of my printer last night. So I ordered, I know this is effectively the what's the deal with airline peanuts of a digital age, but printer ink, what's going on here, people? Why is everything a totally different thing? I'm like, all right, I want to get this stuff printed out of here ASAP. So I ordered last night, Amazon Prime, printer ink. I searched for my printer model. So hopefully the only things that are coming up on Prime now are things from my printer model, and I get black ink, but it's black ink XL, still Epson, still all the same thing, but it's XL,
like super black.
It's a larger packet, it's a larger thing, but it, despite the fact that I searched for my exact printer thing, it was not for my printer, and I should have checked it. I didn't. I literally just lit $25 on fire. So that was a come down from the exhilarating high of being recognized by the legacy of President McKinley.
That sounds annoying.
Your mic, and then your mic changed.
An entire.
Okay, what's happening here? Yeah, that's not gonna work.
Where would I find this if I were to be the person? I just want to do this as a service for in case that person is listening, Justin. Where would I find this survey? Would it be in Kickstarter or would it be through a third
party?
No,
it's in your email.
Email.
In your email. Well done. I'll make double sure. Where it goes.
It would be in that person's email, whoever
this person's who shall remain nameless is email.
It should be in my Gmail. All right. I mean, if I were that person, that's probably the service I would be using. I bet it got quick five questions, huh?
Wait, what?
Quick five questions, is that what I'm looking at?
I think, to be honest, that wasn't my department. All I know is that emails went out.
I think I found it.
Did you find it?
Oh, Amos, if you're an IRC, W. Scottis 1 wants to give you the paste bin.
Something.
Yeah, no worries. Keep me up to date on news and exclusive offers. Why, yes. From a trusted source like Action News? Of course.
Well, and of course, the fine Contender Games family.
You know what you're going to get? A whole different mailing address. This is why I held off so long, because I'm going to have a new mailing address.
Oh, look, I didn't see this today. But the Rotten Tomatoes news that they are including more podcasters, which I guess means that Corey Coleman's Facebook update saying he wasn't sure whether or not he was getting spammed by a Rotten Tomatoes person asking to include their reviews was not indeed a spam.
Oh. I can never tell what I actually know regarding Rotten Tomatoes. So what does this announcement say?
Rotten Tomatoes adjust criteria to include more diverse critics, and that will include podcasts for the first time.
Yeah. No, yeah, Eileen's been working with somebody on a podcast, I know.
No. So it's like, I think this is
they're going to start rating podcasts. I don't know anything about that.
Rating podcast. It's for the Tomatometer. So
got it.
Movie review podcasters will now
play into the, okay. Yeah. No, that doesn't have anything to do with Eileen. So I'm safe there.
Yeah.
It's, that's interesting. Cause one of the things I know just from public information that they've been very focused on is diversifying the tomato meter, inputs.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if diversity in podcasts were a thing, then I think looking at Double Toasted getting an email makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Fruity OT bars. Okay. Are we live? Yes. No, we should be.
We should be though.
Okay. I'm too busy trying to help this friend of Justin's out with his, with his order.
Rather noble of you, and we are now live.
Did Sarah figure her thing out?
She's not currently in the call, so.
Well, we might have to wait a little bit for her anyway. Is she saying anything in Slack? No, she's not. All right.
See, that's a problem, man. You start futzing. Everything's 90% okay, but that 10% gets you going every single time. You just want
to putz. But the big thing that happened to her wasn't as a result of futzing. It was just the third-party software she's been using suddenly just stopped cooperating. Thank you, Tom. Your order is confirmed.
Hey! I'll be the judge of that.
I had to pay for shipping.
You did?
Well, I chose to pay for shipping.
I just have no idea why I am this close now.
Okay. Hey, hi.
You see how close I am?
Hi, Sarah.
This is horrible.
It's not horrible. It's very close.
It's not great. Oh, well, as long as you can hear me, okay. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Don't forget, the majority of the audience is listening.
I know. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. I'm ready to start. Are you guys ready to start?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Shall you proceed?
Amos?
Yes, indeed.
Are you go for launch?
I am go for launch.
All right. 15 seconds. I like doing this because it's easier for me to have the notes if I start exactly at a certain point. So bear with me. Here we go. 2, 1. Thanks to everybody who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, August 28th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And for Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And for Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And congratulations to Roger Chang, who had a baby girl. Woo! And his wife, Jen. Hooray. Of course, that means Roger will be out for several days. But capably stepping in, Anthony Lemos, a.k.a. Amos. How's it going, Amos?
Hopefully I'm capable. I'm trying here.
Oh, yeah. No, so far, so good. Fingers crossed. No, it's good. We're going to be fine. We're all fine here. How are you? Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Intel took the wraps off its 8th-gen processors at IFA in Berlin. There are three new Whiskey Lake U-Series chips. That's Intel's mid-range line for laptops and three 8th-gen Amber Lake Y-Series processors. Intel is also emphasizing integrated gigabit Wi-Fi support as well as built-in Amazon and Cortana voice support.
Vespa's electric scooter Electrica starts production next month with online sales opening in Europe in October. U.S. and Asian customers will be able to order in early 2019. The Electrica has a maximum range of 62 miles, will take 4 hours to charge the battery, which will last up to 1,000 charge cycles. The Electrica has some AI features like pedestrian and vehicle detection and will suggest alternative routes.
It's Electrica. No?
Electrica.
Un hombre de vino. AMD spinoff Global Foundries, which manufactures AMD's Ryzen and Radeon chips, says it's going to stop developing 7-nanometer processors and has no plans to ever, well, maybe not ever, but no plans right now to develop 5 or 3-nanometer tech. It's just too damned expensive, says Global Foundries. AMD is okay. They've already said they were going to manufacture future 7-nanometer chips like the Zen 2 CPUs with TSMC. So all this means is TSMC will do all the manufacturing of 7-nanometer chips in the future. We got some news out of Instagram, Justin.
We do. IG, that's Instagram for the olds, announced a 3-part plan to improve safety on its platform. A section called About this account will show the date it was created, the country it's located in, and other accounts with shared followers, username changes in the last year, and any ads the account is currently running. Users can now request verifications from the settings. You'll have to provide a full real name plus ID or business verification. Finally, Instagram will support apps like Duo and Google Authenticator for two-factor authentication within the coming weeks.
Well, that last one, it gets a big applause out of me. As we know, SMS as a two-factor is better than nothing, but it's not ideal. Having an independent authenticator is great. Be even better if they supported some kind of physical key like a YubiKey, but hey, you know, baby steps. We're getting there. What do y'all think of this idea of the other two parts of this, of giving you more information to evaluate an account, including more widespread verification?
I love this. I love this. There are accounts. I mean, I know what a spam account is on Instagram. I'm pretty good at, you know, identifying that. But if somebody starts following me and they've got followers and a variety of pictures, but the account was created very recently, then I want to know that it's not probably somebody who has anybody in common with me, you know?
Well, I also think that Instagram and social media in general is very good at sussing out fraud. So more information, or at least shaking up the information that is publicly available, is pretty good at allowing the rest of that network effect to take hold. And if it has two accounts, it's following two people and it's running a bunch of ads and it's from Russia and started yesterday, no matter what it's saying or how, you know, realistic it is, they're going to have to figure out new ways to spoof. If anything, this is just sort of moving the line forward. But I think that we're kind of past due for that being incumbent on the platforms to actually move that line forward.
And I think a lot of this is, yes, let's identify fake accounts more easily or accounts that aren't what they say they are. But it's also a really good step in the harassment area, right? If somebody's harassing you and you don't block them and they change their name and you're confused by that, this gives you the tools to learn a little bit more about who this person is.
Yeah, no, that's, I hadn't even thought about that part of the username change. Just the idea of seeing the history and saying, oh, they used to be called F, my favorite political person. I guess I don't want to follow them after all. It was where I went with that. But you're right. Like, people changing their name to kind of avoid detection would be another thing. By the way, we had a little confusion in the Discord just now. Duo is the name of a two-factor authentication service. We're not talking about the messaging service Duo.
No.
That's grounds for a trademark suit right there, that we had confusion in the marketplace right in front of us.
You know, I'll tell you what, it actually kind of brings up a meta conversation about verification in social media, because the idea specifically with Twitter of the blue check mark and kind of everything that's sort of come afterward, that was an odd place to draw the line in what eventually became, you are now a cool kid, mm-hmm. right? Or you are like, we have taken our time in the, and I think it made sense in the bygone era of Twitter. We don't have a lot of time. We're just a bunch of kids putting together a scrappy little website. So for celebrities, sure, we'll work on our lunch break and make sure,
hey,
you're really
biz, back. Should we verify Veronica? Sure thing, Ev, do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's a very, this is a very stable platform. People use it all the time. Maybe we should be verifying en masse a lot of people, because it will at the very least say, okay, if you didn't take the time to go and you know, tweet a picture, they send a picture of your license to this platform, then maybe we'll take you a little less seriously.
Yeah, I did. No, I that is key. And we've talked about this in regards to Twitter before, but verify everybody, you know, if they just have a system that verifies people, don't make it a special thing.
Let's talk about smart speakers and soundbars, shall we? Bose announced a smart speaker and two soundbars with Amazon Voice Services built in. They will all be shipping in October. Let's start with the Bose Home Speaker 500. It's an aluminum cylinder with custom drivers pointed in opposite directions for sound separating, has a display for album art, and programmable buttons for quick access to playlists or radio stations. And this all goes for $400. Then the $800 Bose Soundbar 700, a lot of numbers here, is 2 inches high, 4 inches deep, and 38 inches long, supposedly can place discrete sound in places where there aren't actually any speakers. The $550 Soundbar 500 is smaller. Both soundbars do include HDMI ARC support, and the speakers can also work in a multi-room system, for example, if you have Sonos speakers already.
Yeah, that HDMI support is key for me, because the ARC or ARC standard lets you not have to worry about hooking up the speakers in a second way to your TV. It allows, basically, it allows two-way audio communication over your HDMI, so that anything plugged into your TV can have its sound sent to the speakers without having to have a separate connection. Most of the modern TVs have that now. Yours, if yours is older, it might not have that, but that's pretty cool. I do see this, names aside, as Bose sort of moving into the present and saying, you know what, we need to be making soundbars for TVs, and we need to be making smart speakers. And smart speakers is the hot new category right now, so I'm not surprised to see them do it.
Yeah, I mean, this the Soundbar 700 being able to supposedly, you know, offer sound where there isn't actually a speaker, that's a surround sound type thing.
Yeah,
if a soundbar can do what my huge current speakers that take up a lot of room in my living room and were very expensive can do, I prefer the idea of having less.
Yeah, and but I think also what Tom is pointing out, that there's a commoditization for audiophiles, even that there used to be this idea that no, I got the speaker and it was handcrafted by an elderly man in Switzerland, and that's the only true sound. And Bose, that's been their brand, is we are, you know, short of a custom system, a quality name for audiophiles. And that's in a world of Sonos, where Sonos is even kind of lagging behind a little bit before they jumped in whole hog into the a smart speaker world. That I think has kind of gone away. What we're seeing is that even names like Bose are stepping into this, what used to be looked at as kind of a gimmick. No, it's not. Now it's a real thing that people want to spend money on and are becoming a must-have feature.
Although I know there are, you know, this, I can hear the sound of people who take themselves seriously as audiophiles saying Bose. Do not say audiophile and Bose in the same breath, gentlemen. That's not what we're not trying to say. Bose is your high end. The people who really care about high end sound don't want sound bars. Okay, like we're giving you all a pass. We're like, you know what you're doing. You're building better systems, 7.1 surround. For those of us that want better sounding stuff, but don't want to have to put in a whole system, don't want to have to put in the work to get the better sound, even though it's totally worth it, having Bose in that market is something that I think a lot of people want. And granted, Bose gets trashed for its sound quality quite a bit by people who know what they're talking about. But despite that, it has name recognition for a lot of people out there shopping who might not pick up a smart speaker otherwise, and for good or ill will say, oh, but Bose is making it now, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, the latest figures from Gartner put Huawei ahead of Apple on global smartphone sales to end users in Q2. So that means not shipping to manufacturers or shipping to retail, but shipping to end users. Gartner put Huawei at a 13.3% market share, saying it sold just around 49.8 million devices in the quarter. That's up from 9.8% in the quarter a year before. Gartner says Apple took an 11.9% market share. That's down from 12.1% in Q2 2017, so down year over year, selling 44.7 million iPhones. Samsung's share declined 12.7%, but it did keep the number one spot with its 19.3% market share and 72.3 million devices sold. Huawei also moved into second place in the rankings from IDC and Canalys earlier this month. So Xiaomi and Oppo make up the other parts of the top five here. What we are definitely seeing is markets that aren't Europe and US now make the difference. And obviously China, a huge market for Huawei. It's a huge market for Apple and Samsung too, but Huawei is beating them in that market, or at least close to beating them. They may not quite be beating them, but they are dominating and rising there, which is rising their boats. Huawei's challenge is, can we continue to grow through India and Africa when we're facing some headwinds in Europe and definitely some problems in the United States? And the answer is probably yes. You're seeing Xiaomi and Oppo rise because Xiaomi, particularly in India, is doing well. So these budget phone makers on the world stage are going to start taking over the top five. And this feels like back when we would talk about Nokia and BlackBerry starting to feel the heat from young Samsung and Apple as the touchscreen smartphones began to sell. And I think Samsung and Apple are looking very much like Nokia and BlackBerry right now. The question is, will they avoid the fate of those two?
Well, the only thing I'd say about Apple is that Apple has historically cared less about market share and more about the profits that they could make per unit. And I think that we have seen, even as they have let that phone price creep higher, they have been able to sell enough that the profits are very, very good for them. The to me, this story is the first part. It is the subject, not the predicate, which is the rise of China's smartphone dominance here. Like this, the Huawei is a company that if you don't listen to this show, to be totally honest with you, I don't feel like you hear a lot about unless it's, you know, transcended into some of the political realm that we've seen. Huawei is a murderer right now. They are absolutely an 800-pound gorilla in almost every market but Western Europe and the United States. And those markets are getting more and more hungry for phones.
Yeah, I mean, look at Samsung. Still number one, but declined 12.7% in a quarter. Well, how long are you going to be number one?
Yeah, you're coasting on your previous lead at that point. And the New York Yankees will tell you that that does not always work.
Mm. Wow. Commentary.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to get political. But no. This is I think this is a sea change to keep an eye on. And your point about Apple starting to lean into average revenue per unit is a huge one. They do that, and they're continuing to do that. And you're going to see higher prices, I'm going to bet, on the new iPhones they announced this autumn. They still need to get unit prices higher in China and much higher in India if they want to continue to compete on the world stage.
100%. Google Go, Google's search app optimized for emerging markets, can now read web pages out loud in 28 different languages and will even work on a 2G connection. Google says the app uses AI to determine the most important parts of a web page. It will only read those sections and leave out everything else. The browser displays what it's reading and highlights each word as it goes. Google also announced that it's changing the name of the Tez app in India to Google Pay and partnering with HDFC Bank, ICICI Bank, and Kotak Mahindra Bank to provide instant loans to the app's users.
Yeah, so this is a big conference going on in India, and it's part of Google's effort to get the next billion users. That's what they call their initiative. So they're really touting stuff. They're talking about using the Chaos operating system in places like Africa and Southeast Asia as well. But man, 2G connection and reading my web pages to me, That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool technical feat there.
I love the idea of determining what is the part of the webpage I want it to read and not reading me the whole thing, which apparently Google's AI is trying to do. The Engadget article that I read about this morning used a recipe as an example. Like, you don't want to read about the cook's backstory. You just want the recipe. Well, maybe sometimes. I don't know. Yeah. I would like to see how this works in practice.
Sure. And obviously this is the old story of like, oh, you're going to do something for me. Well, you're probably going to do it wrong and I'm going to get mad because I can't reverse it. When it's like, look, the point here is you've got limited data. You don't have time and you want to get to the essential of a story. As long as they're doing that well, I think it will be okay because you can still see the page. You can still scroll through the page. It actually scrolls the page and highlights the words it's reading as it's reading them out to you. So while that is excellent for accessibility, it's also good when you're on kind of a tiny screen, I think.
Look, if it's bad, people won't use it and we'll never talk about it again. If it's good, it'll be a really, really cool thing that we can go forward with, including yet another one of my cries into the abyss that will never be heard, although I will continue to sing the song. Audio only internet. Just somebody, we're so close. We have all the things that we need. And I'd be really excited for this if it were a super low data usage little earpiece that I could just plug in, or I could, just give me an audio only. Come on now.
Yeah.
It can't be too hard. Just give me a little audio only internet.
Well, and this is the way to it right here, right? A Google Go device of the future might not have a screen at all. Do voice activation through Google Assistant. And this kind of reading of the web pages to you.
To me, it could redefine the web. And as simply as just putting text on your website that you know you want to read, including stuff like restaurant, when restaurants are open and closed and stuff like that. I don't know. I just think it's an idea that I've longed for and I've waited for Godot oh so long.
And you will keep waiting. Not to spend too much time on it, but this idea of Google Pay is back in India. Hooray. That now we know why they got rid of that name. Partnering with the banks for instant loans, the payment processing in India is heating up. Remember, we just had the story about Berkshire Hathaway investing in Paytm, which is another top Indian payment processing app. So Google going head to head with them saying, well, OK, even if you don't have money, we'll get you the money if you use our app. It's pretty interesting innovations going on there.
Some other Google news. Google's adding new tools for U.S. military veterans that help them find jobs or promote their businesses or both. Grow with Google will now highlight job openings when a veteran enters the phrase jobs for veterans into Google's regular search, along with military job codes relevant to specific skills that they may have and want to put to use. Employers and job boards can also enable the feature on their own sites by using Google's Cloud Talent Solution, which is a machine learning-based job search platform. Google.org, the company's charity initiative, will grant $2.5 million to the United Service Organizations to provide IT training, career support, and Google support professional certification. Also, the veteran-led attribute badge will appear on Google business listings alongside other attributes.
Yeah, so like Wi-Fi is available at this business. It'll now say, oh, it's this business happens to be veteran-led. So if that's something that increases your willingness to want to patronize a particular business, that's nice to know. All this job finding stuff is definitely interesting, and certainly something that is, I would think, needed.
I think that for many veterans who have served this country, coming back has, you know, is a rough transition back into civilian life, and anybody who can help ease that way and connect jobs with folks who have laid down their life for our country is very important. Closed tab, closed program, power down computer, put computer away, go buy a new computer, open, power it up. This is a PR move. Google is moving into a phase where things are going to be very politically charged. There's a story we didn't talk about today that can illustrate that. But this is a way that Google does not want to be in a situation where they have to justify, yeah, but what good are they doing? This is, to me, a fairly transparent, if helpful way that they can say, look at our red, white, and blue apple pie altruism.
Hey, there's no reason it can't be both. It can't, you know, some PR moves actually are also useful tools underneath.
Maybe why they would... I went on two different computers.
Exactly. So you went all the way.
32 different computers.
Hey, Amos, producing our show here, you might have some commentary on this, do you? If you can get to your unmute button.
Yeah, I just went through a week-long class about all this, and it was not the whole process is not the best organized, and any information that Google might be able to help with, any gathering that information would be amazing for the entire process for all veterans, because right now all the information out there, there's a lot of programs, but it's all scattershot as far as where it's going to be seen and where it can be found. And a lot of times, a lot of sites will have information. They'll link to each other's site, but you can spend half an hour and not actually get the information you need. So any way that Google can help combine that information or focus on it, it would be an amazing help. And this is just a program that DOD has been putting together for the last 10 years or so. And it's a lot better than it used to be, but it's still, it could use some good old fashioned Silicon Valley touch to it.
Gotcha. All right, E-Ink first showed advanced color e-paper back in 2016. It's now finally delivering ACEP, as I'm going to call it, A-C-E-P, advanced color e-paper, to clients for digital signs. ACEP is more advanced than previous color e-ink. So you may have seen e-ink signs and colors before. They've marketed under Spectra, Prism, or Triton. For instance, Triton could do 4,096 colors. ACEP can display 32,000 different colors with a resolution of 1,600 by 2,500 pixels and 150 pixels per inch, which E-Ink says means it can do full color in each pixel. This is starting to sound like early smartphone displays. Mass production should begin at the end of the year. And yes, e-readers, they're not focusing on the e-reader product line at the moment. So don't expect it to be coming to your Kindle.
So what kind of digital signs are we talking about, Tom?
In stores.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a cheap dynamic way that you can have cool display, you know, be it advertising or signage. This is really smart. I wonder exactly how fast this will get commoditized to the point where we'll see it everywhere, but certainly there is a demand, as we've seen, for all display advertising. There's a reason why, you know, I would say probably 50% of the billboards that I see around in my daily life are digital, that are, you know, flipping, because it's easier to do that. It's quicker to put it up. There's no reason why every sign in your life can't benefit from that.
Yeah. You mostly see them in like department stores and retail shops where they don't want to have to keep printing out new signage, you know, 50% off sale, order now. They can then just swap these out with new words, new illustrations, new pictures sometimes. And having 32,000 different colors means they can be much more vibrant. They can go from just looking like a printout, a cheap printout, to actually being able to do things that you could only do if you had a full HDTV type signage system.
Yeah, I mean, I could also see this at certain fast food places or whatever, like literally anywhere where you have one major hub that's trying to make sure that all signage is correct for all locations, then a programmable e-ink solution, I think, would benefit them at the right price.
All right, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, don't forget we have a sister show called Daily Tech Headlines, and you can subscribe to it at dailytechheadlines.com.
Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You gave me stories for headlines this morning. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Of course, we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/group/dailytechnewsshow.
And we get your emails and we read them.
Yes, we do. Ken has some thoughts on last week's conversation we were having about why flying cars aren't a thing yet. Ken says, flying is hard. That's why. But today's tech, a one or two person self-flying drone, is within reach for the general public. The way I see it is the actual flying would be done by the drone itself, guided by a national airway system that can lay out a full dynamic network of flight paths. A user would simply pick a landing point, and then the system would decide the path and elevation to follow. The user would only control a smart electric motor to move the vehicle from the landing area to a parking spot. As a truck driver in the Northeast, Ken would rather see self-flying drones than self-driving cars. Ken says, I can imagine how wonderful it would be to put as little as 25% of the daily commuters in the air. That would alleviate many of the surface traffic problems that we see today.
Interesting. I wonder if it would have the same congestion effect. Right now, if you add more lanes, you also add more traffic, because when there's more lanes, people decide to drive that route when they might not otherwise. But you've got way more lanes you can add in the air. Maybe it would overcome that issue. This is a really interesting thought from Ken. Thank you for that. And Matt writes, I work in the cannabis industry in Southern California, and we use a high degree of automation in our facilities. For example, we work with Priva, a manufacturer and developer of environmental controls and automation in horticulture, among other industries, whose systems are used in more than 50% of all the buildings in Holland. We recently met Priva's president, Meini Prins, and got some insight into the future direction of the company. I suggest you check out their website. It's fascinating. Many of the technologies we implement have been used previously in the food and beverage and pharma industries, but sadly, the cannabis industry has been closeted from the masses and even each other for so long that development and innovation have stagnated. Everybody thinks they have the secret sauce and nobody wants to share information. Silly, as there's more than enough pie for everybody to get a slice. Only because my partner and I have worked in so many other industries were we able to look outside the cannabis sector for answers to the questions we had to create something far beyond the standards in the current industry. And he added in his email, he's like, this is not people in a garage, you know, growing stuff in a closet. Like, this is factory, high quality level production, just like you have for other foods.
Where did this come from, this topic?
I think we were talking about vertical farms.
Yeah, probably in response to the vertical farming that we were talking about and innovation in food in general. We've had a couple stories on food recently.
Well, thanks to everybody who emails us. And thanks also to Justin Robert Young for being on the show today. Justin, what's been going on since we saw you last?
Well, you know, I've been writing my free political newsletter, Sarah, and you guys can get the fruits of that labor by heading on over to freepoliticalnewsletter.com. It's free. It's political. It's a newsletter. Five days a week, five stories a day. And, you know, some hot takes, mostly gifts. Although I've been writing a little bit more lately on it. And I was particularly happy with some of the reaction to the stuff about John McCain earlier in the week. And tell you what, probably have a lot to write about in tech, considering the president decided to call out Google for whatever reason this morning. So we'll be writing all about that. This will be a good time for a lot of DTNS fans to get on board and sample the free political newsletter at freepoliticalnewsletter.com.
It's the perfect place for that story. And Justin will do it justice. Go check it out, folks. Hey, also peruse our fine selection of stuff in the DTNS store. You can get mugs. You can get hats. You can get hoodies. You can get baby onesies. We should buy one for Roger now that I'm thinking about it. For Roger's baby. Not for Roger. He's a little too big. Although, I don't know, maybe you could do an adult large. Anyway, go check it out, dailytechnewsshow.com/store. And also, don't forget, I'm heading out to Greenville, Illinois, and we're having a meetup. I confused Mike Kepper, who's a local from Southern Illinois, when I said I would do a St. Louis area meetup, and then I scheduled it in Greenville. He's like, Greenville's not in St. Louis area. That's Southern Illinois. Well, whatever. It's where I'm going. That's where I'm having the meetup. It's Friday, September 7th at 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. at the Family Vine Winery, 1349 Red Ball Trail in Greenville, Illinois. I was just messaging with Tammy earlier. She's happy to have us. So if you're in the area, come on out. We put the information up on the Patreon as well at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you'd like to get a hold of us, please do. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you'd like to join us live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC, put it on your calendar and find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.
This show is part part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Who is it tomorrow? Scott Johnson tomorrow. I didn't want to guess. All right. Good show. What should we call it?
We should call it...
Give me 2 seconds.
That seems like a weird name. Give me 2 seconds.
It's rather brief, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like the show is longer than that.
We have Verify Everybody. From the Twitter story.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. That's pretty good.
There's really not a whole lot of suggestions today. No. The Electrica scooter and Roger
Electrica.
It's an odd name because everyone's going to pronounce it wrong the first time.
Well, Electrica. It's Italian. I mean Electrica. It's Italian, but it's being written in the English stories. It's being written the Electrica, and I'm like, right. Well, but in Italian it would be La Electrica. Which doesn't feel any less awkward to me, but maybe that's because I don't speak Italian.
Yeah, of the ones we have, I think Verify Everybody is the best one and the one that has the least chance of getting any SEO.
We gave Justin 2 seconds.
What if we say Verify Everybody! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Make it more fun.
That makes it, that does. I like that.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Verify everybody.
For video people, I'm sorry about this. It threw me off. I don't know if it threw you off.
Nah, didn't throw us off. We're good. You're fine. You're good. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Tom, you went to throw it to me. I had taken it off the chat because I was trying to find the YOLO 420 link to the Streamathon so I could put that copy in there.
Oh, shoot.
It didn't work. So I'm going to have that written up and put it in there tonight.
Do it. Yeah, I was going to say, do it now and then, or after you're done with the other stuff, so we won't forget. Shoot.
I'm going to put it into Diamond Time for tonight as well. So
yeah.
It's time to start ramping that up.
Totally.
Our goal is $5,000 this year.
$5,000? That's big.
We originally wanted to do 10, but that's when we were going to do the whole year. Then me and Kent were like, we can't break away from life to manage this yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
We've raised $2,072 the last 2 years in a row. So 5,000 this year shouldn't be too hard if we can get some good publicity and
just kind of double your friends, double your fun.
Get some big Diamond Club names on it. Wink, wink, Tom, to come out and stream.
When is it?
This year.
When are you doing it?
New Year's Eve.
Oh, it's duh, of course.
Yeah. It's 27-hour spectrum of New Year's Eve, so that way we cover midnight on all time zones.
Gotcha.
Worldwide.
All right.
That is ambitious.
Yeah, I know.
It started out as a 24-hour live stream of just me meandering on the internet to raise money for a family down in Australia, a Diamond Club family in Australia, and then it kind of morphed into this big project that broke Christy Cates out to do her own music. Had John Teasdale on there playing the Contender with the live audience. Like we've had a lot of fun the last couple of years.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. The big thing is that we have a constant presence in chat room so that no matter where you are in the world, if you can get into chat room, you don't have to spend New Year's Eve alone.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I like that idea.
And meanwhile, we're trying to raise money for sick kids with extralife.org.
I mean, first of all, don't forget to put the people who appeared in the description on the blog post. Okay. I'm putting it in right now, but like with Sarah Lane, Tom Merritt, Justin Robert Young, do you want Anthony or Amos?
Amos is kind of more of a verbal name than a written.
So I'll write it Anthony. That makes sense. Cool.
It always seems weird when I see Amos written, but then when it's spoken, it seems natural. It's very strange relationship I have with my nickname.
It's a complex and rich relationship you two have.
I like both. Anthony and Amos, both very good names.
Well, and also because Amos is kind of a contraction of Anthony and Lemus, right? So it would feel weird to call you Amos Lemus.
Right.
A little redundant.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't know it was a real name, because I'm not much of a biblical person, at least I wasn't at the time in high school, but I didn't know his real name until after they'd given me the nickname, and then I was like, oh, actually, I'm spelling it wrong.
How are you spelling it?
A-M-U-S.
Oh, well.
Yeah, not so much.
Well, I mean, it's not illegal, but it would be unusual.
It's free for country.
Yeah. Spell it how you want.
I wonder where Justin got called to. Do you think it's secret?
Where did he go?
He said, he's like, give me 2 seconds. And he
clearly stepped off into a phone booth because he's with the Time Lord or whatever.
Yeah, I saw his shirt fly out and then a cape.
What if he took a towel with him?
What if he's Superman?
He comes back with glasses and a cape, and we're like, wait a second.
Hold on. Justin, are you Superman?
No, I'm a totally different person.
He couldn't tell us, right? He wouldn't. It's not like being a cop in a bar. He doesn't have to tell us.
Don't you have to tell somebody?
If you're Superman? No.
No, if you're a cop in a bar.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Superman is different than that.
Ah, got it.
Yeah, unless there's a local law, you don't have to tell them. If someone asks you if you're a cop.
If you're Superman, you have to tell me. No, I actually don't. There's no law.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, we'll play by your rules. No, it's not.
That was a good show.
It was a good show.
We had lots of variety. We did. Good information in there.
We did.
I like that we had two Google stories that were completely unrelated to each other.
It's frightening, but yes.
Why is it frightening?
That they're that big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just the sheer magnitude of Google is frightening. Sure.
Like, unless it's a scandal, you're not going to get two Vespa stories that are so disparate.
Probably not. Not to say Vespa is tiny or anything, but they're no alphabet. Vespa's other bets. They don't have an other bets division, do they? Our other bets are shoes.
I'm just going to sit back here and not even touch my computer.
You are frustrated with that thing, aren't you? I could tell.
I am. I just, it didn't make any sense yesterday, and I thought I fixed it today, and then it did a totally other weird thing. But at least it didn't knock me off, so.
That's good. Yeah, everything was good in the show today.
Yeah.
We didn't have any audio hiccups that I heard either.
Not yet. Everything was good.
What do you think, Otis?
Yesterday, I forgot to upload the Patreon version of the main show, not the Good Day Internet version, but the just DTNS version, and I apologize for that. It was all me. I just got confused. I think because it was the roundtable show, and I was in a little bit of rush. And when I say I was in rush, I mean I was not in the band. I was just hurrying.
What's Rush's biggest hit?
Tom Sawyer, right? It's got to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know that song.
Tom Sawyer, mean guy.
I know the name, like guitar aficionados tend to like the band Rush, but I don't know their biggest hits.
I also like The Trees. I don't know that that's that big. Then they have YYZ, which I for a long time did not realize was about the Toronto airport. Red Barchetta by Ocal.
Are they Canadian?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know that either.
Oh, they are. They're very Canadian. Closer to the Heart, I think, is another popular one.
Probably just have to hear it.
I was watching an interview with them.
I know all these songs.
Somebody asked Neil Peart, like, you know, how's it feel to be one of the most influential drummers or whatever? And he was like, I'm not a drummer. I'm a mathematician.
I was like,
that's an interesting take.
That's one of those answers where I'm like.
Sorry, guys. I just got a FaceTime from Jay Brushwood.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
and he looks and sounds amazing.
Oh my gosh, like, that's such good news.
It is amazing news. Hopefully they'll be, Brian spent more time with him today, but I mean, just to have a conversation and have him be like the old Jay is just,
that's incredible.
Just kind of emotional, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, I understand. And if anyone out there doesn't, the brief version is our good friend Brian Brushwood's brother has been in a medically induced coma and had severe injuries, and it was not certain how long or even if he would recover. So this is huge.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't want to go more into all the stuff except to say, as far as my understanding of these kinds of things are, this is the best possible scenario by
that's
which
incredible.
he could be recovering. So yeah. All I know is that I got to talk to, like, not a, I mean, certainly somebody who's, I mean, hell, just coming out of the drugs. Go Google, kids. Go ahead and Google the power of the drugs that you need to be on to be in a medically induced coma.
Right.
That's a hell of a step down. But just obviously he's got a long way to go.
Sure.
But that was Jay. And wow.
Which wow. I mean, a
that's
week
wonderful
ago
news.
When y'all talked about it on Night Attack, you know, that was not this kind of the idea that you could be FaceTiming with Jay was not a certainty. That was not a thing that
Anybody who's gone through something like this before understands nothing's promised and nothing still is promised.
Sure.
You know, a recovery is a recovery is a recovery. But it's a different story than it was 2 weeks ago.
That's incredible.
That's all I know. Is that I talked to Jay Brushwood and that was
celebrate amazing. The fact and don't worry too much about what's next. They'll get there.
Yeah, okay. We can talk about something else or else I'm just going to start divulging medical history.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. I don't want to get a HIPAA violation.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be so excited for my friend's recovery that I dox his medical history.
Right? But it is good. That is very good news. So a cheery end. Hey, everybody. So Amos, usually at this point I publish the blog post, but it looks like you haven't got everything in there.
Right.
So I'm going to save the draft.
Okay. And I'll get it published
not
as quickly.
Protest the draft. I'm going to save the draft. And yeah, go ahead. And just, so everything from our side is in there. If you can get the other stuff in there, lickety split, go ahead and publish it.
Copy that.
Awesome. Hams for Jay.
It's about that time if you want to say goodbye to the video folks.
Yeah. Well, let's end on the good news from Justin. And video folks, thank you for hanging around with us. Audio folks, stick around. There's more to come.
Boom.
Bing, ding, 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 ding.
There you go.
DTNS is not HIPAA compliant. Hypocrites. Y'all are hilarious in the Discord today. Oh my gosh.
Weird.
So I'm slowly getting better from being tackled by Ray, but
what was your injury?
I've got a bruise that I'm hoping is not a rib, just a muscle bruise on my right chest by the rib cage and elbow. That now my elbow's almost done. My elbow's just a little stiff today. It doesn't hurt like it did Saturday. But the
As someone with a big dog myself, Tom, perhaps you've heard, I wonder what would happen if, you know, we were to collide.
Yes.
Because it's probably going to happen at some point, and he's as big as I am.
Well, I was running.
Oh, okay.
And I was not paying attention to her at all. And she got spooked by something and ran under my legs. So if you just don't run and pay attention to Odie, you should be fine.
You hear that, buddy? He's out. Well, at least I know he behaved himself in the studio today.
Justin, what's it called when an illegal tackle hits you in the ankles and takes you off your feet from the side?
So it would probably be clipping, or
was it clipping? I wasn't sure because it was from the side, not from the back.
Yeah. So I mean, in general, like side to side contact in basketball is a pick, and so it's oftentimes referred to it like that in, like if you run into a pick in basketball, somebody who's standing,
right,
he runs you into him, right? So I would say either, depending on where it is, if somebody's coming into it, it would be a clip or a chop block.
Oh, maybe a chop block.
Chop block's straight ahead usually, but it's usually trying to go for the under the knee or ankle.
Hmm. Yeah, it was a legal move, whatever Ray did. I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
She got 10 yards.
Well, I hope your rib is fine.
Yeah, my doctor said that if I didn't have trouble breathing, she's like, it should go away in a couple of days. If I did notice trouble breathing to come in, she's like, but you're probably fine. Did that by email, so. But it's definitely getting better. It's just one of those things where, like, as soon as I took off the jacket, I noticed it again. I'm like, ooh, there we go.
You could make up a cool story about how, you know, your dog didn't trip you. You actually got in a fight with, someone much bigger than you.
Or my dog tripped me in the service of saving a baby. She was so devoted to saving.
Ray saving the baby or were you saving the baby?
Ray saw the baby falling from nowhere and ran across.
Roger's new baby.
Ran across me. Caught the baby in a leap, right? She leapt up, caught the baby, and kept it from hitting the ground, but of course tripped me in the process.
Well, you know, as you would. You're saving a baby, you know?
And as BioCal points out, 10 yards is like 70 for a dog. So it's a very, very high penalty.
Very stiff penalty.
So it's just a very stiff penalty. Half the distance to the goal line at that point. I mean, gee. Man. Fruity OT bars is what I would be singing to your dog all the time.
I don't know this song.
It's from Serenity, the Firefly movie.
Oh, see, I've never seen it.
You have to look it up.
You've got a song after you, sort of.
Makes a man out of a mouse.
Big dog. Big dog.
Is he just looking at you?
Well, no, he's actually, I'll show you.
Let's see, Odie. Oh, he's sleeping.
He said, I love to be near you. That's all I want.
Yeah, he feels safe.
I know.
I mean, the big thing I realized with Ray that I didn't have to go through at all with Django and not as much with Sawyer because he's so confident was she just needed to feel safe.
Yeah.
And that took like a year before she really felt safe. And then her like actual personality became clear, like, oh, that was just nervousness. Now this is what you really want to do.
Right. Yeah. I'm aware that after a week, you know, some clinginess is totally understandable and doesn't have to be, you know, the reality.
And in a way, a good sign that he's like, oh, you're my cool human. Awesome.
Yeah,
I trust you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's good things and bad things about it. I just don't want him to, you know,
yeah, you don't want
out.
It to solidify as the normal way.
Exactly. Or to kind of be jealous of other people.
Yeah, right.
You
don't want to turn into protectiveness. Yeah, that started to happen with Ray, and we had to nip that in the bud.
Yeah, that's kind of my, that's a little bit more of a concern.
Yep. Especially as big as he is.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He just doesn't know his own size.
He just thinks he's a little tiny cat.
Yep.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Sarah. If Odie like jumps up to collide, I think you're probably weight wise safe to just like punch with reckless abandon. Like I think it'll be the same as just kind of pushing. Like you have to handle them like people would like a jungle cat or something like that.
It's like, what have I done? Why? This is something that I've never really thought. Like, you know what I should do? If a dog my size jumps on me, I should just punch him.
Well, not
and that would be my dog that I would adopt.
You know, I'm just saying that it would be, you know, like he's a big dog. He's a really big dog. It's fine.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Interesting days. The new baby of my house.
How is it weathering? Is it weathering good? Where are you at now?
It's fine. I'm a little, we've had a couple bad nights, so I'm feeling, you know, just kind of, I don't know.
Does he sleep in his kennel?
He does.
And your
that was fine for, you know, the first 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
But now that he's feeling kind of more comfortable and he knows where I am, he wants to be in the bedroom. So, and that's not going to happen. Not right now anyway.
You're holding the line.
So, yeah, but it's tough. Like
pawing at the door and the noise and barking or
right, and you know, knocking over his water, and so there's water everywhere, and then I got to get up at 4, and you know.
Oh hey, the contender refunded my shipping. Thank you.
Yeah, they're great. I love those guys.
Thank you guys. I didn't even ask for that. Unsolicited, got an email from John Teasdale.
Yeah, probably John.
Said, hey, you shouldn't have been charged shipping. And I'm like, okay. I just wanted to get it fast.
No, it's sitting on the floor.
We doff our cap to you.
You'll probably have it by this weekend.
Good. I hope that I actually do get the keys to my house tomorrow then.
Wait, did you guys buy a house?
Yeah.
What? How did I not know this?
How did you not know this?
Yeah, I don't know how. I feel like I talk about it every day.
No, I guess I've just missed the days where you guys bought a
house. Maybe. I mean, there's a baby and a big new dog. There's a lot to keep up on, Justin.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I was going to ask you where it is, but I realized that you literally just gave me your address.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we bought a house and moving in on September 22nd. So I'll be moving the studio that weekend. And it's very exciting. Very exciting times.
Well, I can't wait to visit it.
I've been getting rid of all kinds of stuff. We also have more room in the new place. So,
Brian, although now you are officially no longer my by the airport LA.
No, we're a little farther. We're a little farther. I don't want to give away too much about the location on the stream, but I have strategies for anybody who wants to visit. It is not.
Yeah, doesn't look like a disaster.
No, there's a service that you can take from the airport, which actually makes some things easier, but it still takes longer to get to they have this thing called the LAX Flyaway.
Yeah.
And it runs constantly. So you can take that from any terminal pretty much any time of day. And then it's got Wi-Fi and electric outlets at the seats.
And nice.
You know, traffic permitting, obviously, it takes a little different amount of time depending on the time of day. But
well, this is very exciting, Tom.
Yeah, man.
I feel derelict in my duties that I did not know that this was.
Oh, no, that's all right.
It in all fairness, it happened pretty quick.
It did. Like, we just started looking a month ago.
Right.
No, I was aware that you guys were looking, but I guess that's kind of the thing with house buying, right? Like it's all hurry up and wait or strike while the iron's hot kind of stuff.
Well, and our agent, because we're giving her all the credit, we're like, oh my gosh, you were so good, we found this so fast. She's like, well, you guys knew what you wanted. It's like half the battle is people just like, well, I don't know, you know, and then not wanting to actually put in offers until too late, and then they lose it and. So,
and you've been through it before, so at least you know on many levels that a first time buyer wouldn't understand. Some things
were not as daunting. Although the process now versus 2006, so different with DocuSign and PDFs versus everything in 2006 was still done by fax or in person.
Oh, yeah. Signing everything on my phone was really interesting for me because this is my first album. Yeah, that was new and pretty interesting.
Pretty mind-blowing. Well, folks, we're going to wrap up the audio now, but thanks for hanging out with us. And hopefully I'll maybe get to see a few of you guys in Southern Illinois.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet. Mm-hmm.